إله له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. وفي آية أخرى: من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما أسفل من الكعبين فهو في النار. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our nourisher, our creator, our sustainer. And may the choices of salawat and rahmat and barakat be upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Many years ago, in approximately 1994, when this country was undergoing a lot of turmoil, difficulties, hardships, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, it was the fazl and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was a lot of fear, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it such that everything thereafter occurred with much great ease and comfort and asani from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you find that that crucial moment before our freedom, or what we say, democracy, before that time, there were a few Buzurganadin that had come to our shores, South Africa, and they had given a lot of talks to ease those tensions and those difficulties which were about to befall this country. And you find one great Buzrug, a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a true friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has sacrificed his life. He had sacrificed his life and he had come to this country. One of his bayans, and that is Hakim Akhtar Saab rahmatullahi alayhi, he had come to South Africa giving talks on deen and Islam, etc. But one talk of his specifically specified on the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we can gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are those actions which will bring about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our heart and into our life? So you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed these buzruganadeen, these awliya of Allah, these mashayikh, with many salient qualities. But what one outstanding, one great quality which was prevalent in the life of every single buzrug was that they had this great love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had this great love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Great love for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the topic of today is that they had great love for the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The great love, and how can we inculcate into our life this love of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you find one, just to recall one incident, you find that we all know, we all are aware of Darul Uloom Dioban, which is the motherhead of this great deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially the ulama of Dioband, that they have upheld the love of the sunnat and the love of deen and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know that obviously Islam had originated from Makkatul Mukarramah, and you find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. But you find after many years, there is a mujaddid that comes out after a few years. A person who will renew the fervor and the spirit of this deen. And you find, alhamdulillah, it is through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen the ulama of the of Darul Ulum Dioban, for the upkeep of this deen. You find, alhamdulillah, it is through the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is many, many times through the ulama of Dioban, that many makatib are established around the world. You find one Karl Guzari of this Jamaat that had come on Wednesday, they were saying that you find that you go to the Saudi states, the sad situation that is prevailing over there is that they are, every few years they are changing the kitabs, and they are basically poisoning the minds. And we all know, we've heard in the news, or where we read in the news, they say that America is also backing into changing the syllabus in the makatib, etc. And you find there's one thing which is not, you find that so many a times there are people from the Saudi Arab states, they can't even read the Quran Sharif. Wallahi ladheem, I've met Saudi Arabs who have went to Saudi schools. They are Arab, they are speaking in Arabic, but they cannot even read the Quran correctly. And how many a times? So you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has from time to time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent mujaddids to renew this fervor and the spirit of deen. So you find Mawlana Al-Washar Kashmir rahmatullah alayh, he was a very great, muhaddith of his time. So you find that once an Egyptian scholar from Al-Azhar University, he had come to visit him. So during the interim of his journey and his stay over there, he says that, let's have some meals. So Mawlana Al-Washar Kashmir rahmatullah alayh presents the meal forward to this sheikh, this Arab, this Egyptian sheikh. So the Egyptian sheikh, he requests, as it is, he is the guest. So he requests for a fork and a spoon and a knife. So Mawlana Al-Washar Kashmir rahmatullah alayh, honoring the guest, he goes and he brings a fork and a knife, and he gives it to this Arab and this Egyptian sheikh. This Egyptian sheikh, he starts eating, and then he says that, Anwar Shah, aren't you also going to eat with a fork and a spoon and a knife? You're only making me eat with a fork and a spoon and a knife. So Anwar Shah Kashmir rahmatullah alayh, he answers him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with such uloom and such hikmat and such wisdom, without looking down on his guest, without dishonoring his guest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, him with these few words and these answers to this question are such that it will astonish any person. So Mu'anwar Shaqi Shmi rahmatullahi, he opens his fingers and he says that this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me. You find that you had asked for a fork and you had asked for a knife, but Allah had blessed me with a natural fork. He says, you find that, you see, my fork and my knife and my spoon, which is our fingers, my fingers are such that this has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says that your knife and your fork and your spoon, all of these, they have been created by man. And we all know that many a times, where its source, where the origin is, it's China. So he says that your fork and your knife, it has been made in China. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with a natural fork. Yeah, I didn't have to pay for that fork. This is something free. This is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with. And then he says that, you see, that this natural fork which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us, these fingers of mine, I can sense the food. I can sense the temperature of the food. It has a natural temperature gauge. He says that this fork which you use, or the knife that you use, or the spoon, how many times it happens, you take it, you place it in the food, and then you put it in your mouth, and then you get burnt. Your tongue is burnt, your mouth is burnt, etc. So he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with this, and this is something which is a natural beauty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says that my fork and my spoon, that is referring to these fingers, which Allah has blessed each and every one of us with. which is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To eat with the fingers is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says this is something which is flexible. He says when it comes to your fork or your knife or your spoon, this is something which cannot flex. It cannot bend. Obviously, if it's a plastic spoon, then it can bend and break. But he says that no, this is something which is natural. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with this. Many a times you take the fork and then you place it in your mouth with the food. And what happens? It's something which is pointy. It has a sharp edge. And it pokes a person. It may injure a person. A person's gums or a person's, mouth may start to bleed. So you find that this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. Then he says that you find my fingers, it is such that it can easily catch hold of the food. Says when it comes to your fork and when it comes to your spoon, then many a times you're coming and you're starting to catch the food. And then from one side to the other, helter-skelter, you can't catch hold of the food. Says that's why Allah has blessed us with this natural ability that we can catch hold of the food very easily. Then he says, and this is something very, 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 very important. Says my fork is guaranteed 100% washed and it is 100% pure. Says many a times you go to the restaurants, what they do? Just to save cost or to save time, what they do, they just wipe the fork or the knife or the spoon and then they give it back to the people. And this is something which is occurring. Is one joke, on the lighter note, they say the one person, they sent out a message. They say that, the certain restaurant, they advertising food, and food, they have different types of food. So the normal type of food is, for example, 5 rupees. Then the special type of food is 10 rupees. And then they say the special type of food is 15 rupees. And then they say the Sunday special is 20 rupees. So now, someone goes up to the owner of the restaurant, they ask them, what you mean? What you mean it's 5 rupees? But I ordered special food, it's still the same food. Then I ordered a Sunday special, it's also still the same. It looks the same. There's nothing. There's no difference. So then the owner of the restaurant, he says, Allahu Akbar, he says that normal food means that hands not washed, utensils not washed. But just, we just serve it just like that. He says special food is where the hands are washed and then you are served with the food. He says special food is when your hands are washed and also, the utensils are also washed. So, it's special. So, he asks, what's Sunday special? He says, Sunday special means that to bath once a week. So, you find that this is how important it is. Allahu Akbar, this is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many times we think, these sunnahs are something which are trivial, which are, which are normal. But, wallahi lazeem, they are great hikmats. The one truck driver, he was driving. And, on the way he stops to check his tire. And then afterwards he goes, it happened in America. So he goes to eat his food. And it so happens that he dies out of poisoning. So investigations are done. They find out that during that journey, when he went to check his tire, it so happened that tire had driven over a snake, and that snake had released some venom and poison, and it so happened that he touched that tire, that was the cause of his death. So if I, this is just one simple sunnah, which we say is simple sunnah, but rather it is a great sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to wash your hands before eating. So we find that these are the great benefits of eating with the hand, and also with and saying Bismillah, these are the great sunnahs and benefits. Then Al-Anwar Shah Kashmir Rahmatullahi, he says that, there's one thing definite, that with a finger I can do, and you find that without, if a person uses a fork or a knife or a spoon, it is impossible for him to do. And what it is to clean the plate after eating. So this is such a great sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this wasn't my actual topic of today, but this was a prelude to what I'm going to speak about. So we find that one great sunnah, which Hakim Akhtasab rahmatullahi alayhi used to stress upon, and which many people, it is unfortunate and it is sad, that they regard this as a something which is trivial, something which is, that the ulama are ranting about and they're just speaking about. But this is something, a very, very important sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what is that sunnah? That to ensure that your pants and your trousers are above your ankles. Whether you are wearing a jubba, a kurta, your pants, your lungi, and you know, to be relevant today, to today's times, whether it is your jeans or your trousers or your track pants, very important sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to ensure at all times, obviously there are certain situations which are permitted, so at all times a person should ensure that his trousers, etc., or his garments are above his ankles. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma asfala min al-ka'bin. Look at the wording. What severity? Ma asfala min al-ka'bin fawa fi an-nar. Whatever is below the ankles, then this is in the fire of Jahannam. The ulama explain what this means is that this person, he will be burning on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of judgment, on the day of judgment and on the day of Qiyamah. This person, he will be burning below the ankle. So the ulama, they give two exceptions to the rule. They say, this hadith refers to when a person is standing and when a person is walking. So these two conditions, is when it is haram. But besides these two conditions, then you find the ulama have mentioned that it is permitted. For example, when a person is going down into ruku, then at that time it is permitted, it is permissible for a person's garment to go below the ankle. Then another condition when this hadith gives permission is when a person is sitting down. For example, many of us are sitting down right now. Some of us are sitting down in the four-legged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has permitted a person that at that condition it is permissible. So there are only two conditions. There are two conditions when it is haram. First is when you are standing and whilst you are walking. At those two conditions, it is haram for a person to make his trousers or his garments go below the ankle. Then you find another exception to the rule also is that if there are any garments going from beneath the ankle and they are going above, then this is permissible. For example, if a person is wearing socks or a person is wearing a leather moza, a leather sock or boots, then this is permissible. So you find that this is when it comes to the first hadith. And then Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri rahmatullah alayh, very, very great wali of his time and a very great muhadith of his time, he says that when you look at the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran Sharif, the ayat of the Quran, then Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned severity and punishment. For which punishments? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned punishments for major gunas and major sins. So these are major punishments. And what is it? That when it comes to having your trousers below your ankle, then you find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that ma asfala min al-kabin fa huwa fi an-nar. That here it is in the fire of Jahannam. Fire of Jahannam is not for something trivial. It's not for something minor. But this is something major. This is something, a kabira guna. And then you find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned another hadith. ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يَنْزُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. There are three people. Let's get to the three. And then we will continue on the hadith. The first person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not purify on the day of Qiyamah, is that person who is mannan. He does good deeds for others, and then he rants about it, and he speaks about it. And he goes and he tells every single person. So you find this is one person mentioned in the hadith. Allah will not purify this person on the day of Qiyamah. The second person, That person who takes false oaths in business dealings. For example, something is made in China, he goes around telling people that, wallahi, this is made in Germany. Or for example, he's selling a car, and he says that, no, wallahi, this car has no problems. But rather, this car is a footstool. You find that this is that person who takes false oaths in business transactions. Then you find, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the topic of today, al-musbil. That person who allows his garments, his kurta, his jubba, his trousers, etc. He allows them to go below the ankle. And what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah will not talk to these people on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will not look at them with the gaze of mercy. Allah will not gaze with them with the gaze of mercy and rahmah. And Allah will not purify them. The ending of the hadith, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And for them is a severe punishment from the side of Allah. That person who allows his trousers or his kurta or his garments to go below his ankle. So this is the severity of the hadith. Then another hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that لا يقبل الله صلاة رجل مسبل. Allah will not accept the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept the salah of that person who allows his trousers and his garments and his kurta to go below his ankle. So if this is something which is a grave sin, the sad reality is so many people, they become too clever for the hadith. And what they do? They say, no, Allah will not accept the salah. So what they do before they come to the masjid, or before they start their salah, they'll fold their trousers, or they'll fold their pants. But immediately when they come out of the masjid, what they do? They lower it. So you find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ صَلَاةَ رَجُلٍ مُسْبِلٍ. Allah will not accept the salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one narration, it has been mentioned, once a person had performed salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded him, go and repeat your salah. So he goes back, he repeats his salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands him again, that go back and repeat your salah again. He goes for the third time, and then he inquires from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh, ya Nabi Allah, what is the reason that my salah is not accepted? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that go and repeat your salah because your trousers were below your ankle. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, once he was going to visit a very important person. So then his cousin tells him that, you know, these people are going to look at you, and they are going to, you know, they are going to mock at you because your trousers are above your ankle. So he tells him that hakadha sunnatu habibi, that leave these people. I will do this because this is the sunnat of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in another hadith, a lengthy incident, but I'll just get to the crux of it. Inna allaha la yuhibbul musbil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes that person whose trousers are below his ankle. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi wa sallam. Who was Hafiz ibn Hajar? That great muhaddith who had made the commentary on the great hadith kitab Bukhari Sharif. So he says that one great reason is because this is imitating the shabbu of kuffar. You are imitating the kuffar. The kuffar, they allow the trousers to go below the ankles. And then he says, you are also imitating women. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that person who resembles a woman, a lady, then on the day of Qiyamah will be rejected with women. And you find nowadays it is topsy-turvy. Why? Because women are supposed to, wear clothes or that are covering and that are, you know, covering their satr and their, you know, that nowadays it is a sad reality that nowadays women are wearing short pants and they are wearing things which are, bringing about the wrath of Allah. So you find men are supposed to be wearing pants below they are supposed to be wearing pants below the knees and above the ankle. But nowadays men are wearing pants which are below the ankle. So you find this is the shabu of women. Then he says this is something. Inshallah, we will call it a day afterwards. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he was on his deathbed. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was about to pass away. Let us understand. He's about to pass away. He's in Sakarat. And what is takrar? May Allah grant us tawfiq to practice upon whatever has been mentioned.